So, what if the deepest questions we ask about love, destiny, and why we're here could be answered by turning into the wisdom of the soul? Today, I'm joined by Ines Vigal. She is the internationally acclaimed intuitive healer, best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body, and a pioneer in mind-body-spirit transformation. Her work has reached millions across the globe, guiding people to awaken their intuition, heal emotional patterns, and live in alignment with their soul. In this episode, Ina will share powerful insights on discovering your soul's purpose, understanding the difference between soulmates and twin flames, and how these connections shape our healing and growth. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson for your sponsorship and to iHeartRadio and to our fans and our audience. Thank you for tuning in. Please do not forget to hit that like and subscribe button before you leave today. It's good to see you again. How are you doing?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm doing well too. Yes. I'm excited about this topic because, like I just said before we hit record, it's trending all over the internet. Everyone wants to know what their soul's purpose is, what a soulmate is, what a twin flame is. Why don't we start with the soul's purpose?
It's almost like we need to understand a little bit more about what the soul is before we even go, what is the purpose of the soul? And I've been doing a lot of kind of master classes around this and going, how do you take something that is almost, it's like it's not a non-physical entity and try and describe it in these physical terms. And so for me, a soul's purpose is in a way, we almost have to rewind and go to the fact that before we came here, the soul had an intention. And why does it have an intention? Why does it have seeds, particular seeds that are meant to sprout? And it's almost like, without understanding multiple earth lives, and I know we're going to have a conversation about this, it's very hard to understand soul's purpose. Because as we, if we have any understanding that we're here to grow in a way, then it doesn't make sense that we only have one life to grow. It's illogical, right? Because some people die very young. And so it's like, how could you only have such a limited short time to grow?
Right. And then some people
And
die and they seem like they're still children. They're like in a 80-year-old body, but they have the mind of a 12-year-old, or the attitude of a 12-year-old.
exactly. And then what doesn't make any logical sense is when people are born and they're born with different talents and abilities. Like I was just randomly watching this TV movie, and it was about this composer, a Russian composer, Tchaikovsky. And then I was doing some research on him just because I was like, well, this is interesting. And what I found out was that even at the age of like 5, he was already getting symphonies. How does that make sense?
That's
When
crazy, yeah.
somebody, right? When somebody is, would need to learn for years, someone learns for years and then someone it just has it. It's illogical. Why would God be so unfair if there was just if we just had one life and one experience? It's like it's there's no logic, and I really like logic. And so, I kind of have to go, well, so each soul has this unique experience. And in my understanding, that is why, because I've spent a lot of time on this topic, mainly because I had a child that died and I felt like I had to continue living, understand why. And, for me, it was that realization of, so we have this multiple earth lives, and each time we come back, the soul comes with an agenda in a way, with an intention of discovering and growing and transforming things. And one of those things is relationships. And one of those things is, what can I contribute? What is it that I can really and truly contribute to to everyone? And part of it is ancestry, a topic we've already discussed, where your soul has to meet your ancestry. And usually your ancestry, meaning your parents in particular, or those that are close to you, are actually part of your soul group, where you come with them in such a close way, even if you don't feel like you're close with them, or even if they really challenge you, but you come with them in a way to, because that is kind of the first place where you need to start to be directed into your journey. And then when we're looking at the soul's purpose, we're also looking at where were you born? What was really going on in your life? Where were you born? In every country, again, from my experience, there are, we have, it's like there's a different energy field. And each of, and it's unique to the culture of that particular country or city. And each of those countries has its own influence on each person. So even if you moved and you went to a different country later on, where you were born, the time you were born, it imprints something onto you that is very unique to you, and that nobody else has it in the exact same way. And so part of understanding the soul's purpose is actually understanding that, this soul that brings with it information from the spiritual world, information from the past, and that information is based on what occurred in previous experiences of your lifetimes, of what is it, that you need to grow, and why do these people come into your reality, into your life at a particular time as well? So
Yeah,
yeah, this is just,
that
yeah.
makes there's a whole there. I know what you're saying. There's a whole bunch of like everything is for a reason, but at the same time, I know for me, I'm very in tune and I know when I'm out of alignment. What are some of the signs that someone is living out of alignment of their soul's purpose?
I think it's a wonderful question. I feel like living out of alignment is being, well, firstly, hating your life, not liking your life. It's being out of alignment is having depression, for instance. It's having a complete disconnection from your heart and from yourself, from your body, from listening to anything within, from taking kind of, little risks, I'm gonna say, little growth spurts. I would say, those things, and thinking that everything is happening from the outside of you instead of from within you.
Got it. So just, I mean, we all know when we're unhappy. And why do you think people stay in those situations?
Because
Do you
that's
think we
all
have
they know,
lessons to
and
learn in there? Or like, yeah, what are your thoughts?
I want to just separate for a minute happiness to, from actual struggle and fulfillment. Because you can be, you can, part of your soul purpose is also to go through struggles to grow. But when you're going through it, and when you're going through the depth of, different aspects of, struggle and pain and maybe even shadow, there's still a part of you that knows that you're meant to. I feel like it's almost like I know that I hate this experience. I don't like it, but I know that I'm meant to. And I just, if I had to give an example, I remember when I met, my second husband, and it was like I just knew we had karma together. I actually knew it with my first husband as well, but in a different way. It was a much more gentle type of like karmic experience. But when I met my second husband, I just remembered feeling like everything in me went cold, and I didn't know how to recognize this, and what it was really about. But I felt like every cell in my body was shaking, and I remember talking to, some friends and going, "I just don't know. I'm a little confused. What are these signs?" And then it was so clear, where my mind, I would literally go into my mind, and my mind would go inner. Do not go near him. He's not a good person. Like, he's a dangerous person. And my gut would go, it was almost like I would go from my mind into this place where I put those seeds in, and I would just go, I have to go through this experience with this person. I have to get close to him, and I have to have the lessons that I need to have with him. And it was almost, it felt non-negotiable that in this particular lifetime we had to have this experience. And there was a lot of struggle at different times and pain, but I knew that it was a pain I had to kind of get through and understand, as opposed to a pain where you just numb yourself. You're operating in this disconnection and numbness, and you're lost and confused in your life. And you're actually, rather than saying, look, I don't know why this has happened. None of us do. We're not that smart, but I'm really interested in finding out, like, why do I have the struggles that I have? And so what I say to people, my daughter asks me this question all the time, and she goes, oh, well, lately not as much, but she used to. She's like, Mom, are you happy? Are you happy? And I would say to her, look, I am fulfilled in my life. I'm deeply fulfilled because I feel like every situation that has occurred in my life, and many have not been easy, I've really gone, okay, what is it that it's really showing me in terms of my soul essentially growing and deepening? And I really feel that the soul can either stay on the surface, or the soul can go into this deepening experience where it's almost like you have all these colors that awaken within your soul, and you become a very rich person internally. And not necessarily externally always, but very rich internally.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like people are trying to chase the wrong type of abundance these days. I mean, abundance is abundance, but when I think of abundance from a wholesome way, it's like feeling good from the inside out, and then when you feel good from the inside out, then you attract abundance from the outside, but abundance starts from the inside.
But to even feel good inside out, it's almost like at times you have to face things that feel bad inside to transform it. And so I think that's what people need to understand, is that you can't fake feeling good. As much as, there are people who say that you can, it's not lasting and just going to go up and down. But by facing the parts of you that are painful at times and difficult, you start to really transform and live from again, that sense of like, I know why I'm here. I know what my life is about, which then comes to, I value my life. I deeply value my life on a daily basis. And I feel like part of when you understand that you can value your life deeply on a daily basis, then something pretty incredible happens. And you start to, essentially experience life where your purpose transforms. And I also want to say that your purpose works based on cycles. And so when I'm in a cycle, or when you are in a cycle of, let's say, relationships, then your purpose at that time could be, how do I become the best partner, the best parent, the best child, whatever it is that you are working on for whoever is around you, and whatever
Right.
that focus is. And then when you're working, let's say, on your purpose to do with your, business maybe, then that is a very different type of purpose, and it requires a different time. And so here we really focus on, why am I doing this? And is my heart really in this, in this deep experience?
Yeah.
And so it changes. It
Yeah.
changes
You
based on
know,
what's.
it's funny that you say that because I just got out of a relationship 4 or 5 months ago. And in that relationship, it was like this cycle of me learning how to be the best possible loving partner. And he was really shitty at communication. And I studied every type of communication style to try and communicate with him. And in the end, it was like a total loss because I still couldn't. It was like we just spoke two different languages. But my God, now I'm like so full of like the ability to communicate and love. And I understand what healthy relationship is because I studied that, trying to bond with this other human that was teaching me these lessons in a sense. So now it's like that propelled me to the next step of getting out on my own so I could build my career, which is everything you're talking about. What I'm curious what your second husband taught you. What did he teach you?
So many things, so many things, from opening the door to spirituality in a completely different way, that we both kind of went into that together, partly because he was an actor, and I really wanted him to be healthy, and his techniques weren't unhealthy. And without knowing it, we've both felt guided to this really deepened understanding of spirituality that I was really, really searching for. So that was incredibly profound, and we really started to practice together. When he left, I really felt like I grew up as a person in so many ways. I remember we had this moment where I said to him before we broke up, and I said to him, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can keep going. And he said, why? And I said to him, there's a few things connected to this. One, me knowing myself, like I'm really getting to know myself. And I had at the time, I literally had just turned 40. And I said to him, well, firstly, I'm kind of feeling like we are, like you were saying, just we're on a different, we have a different understanding of what's truly, truly important. And what's truly, truly important for me is when I do something, and anything that I do, I have to do my best. I have to give all of me. Like, I cannot do something half-heartedly. I don't function like that. And he was at the time, and especially when it comes to creativity, and at the time he was studying something which to me was incredibly mediocre. Like, and it was to do with creativity and art and spirituality. And I was like, this is so mediocre. It's like, I cannot be around it. It's shaking me. It's making me sick because I feel like it's dishonest.
Right.
And the mediocrity, I cannot be around it. And I feel like you have made a decision to do it, without me really, participating in it. And up until that moment, we always kind of made decisions together around things like that. And I just, and I said to him, I would move somewhere to support you in your journey where I felt like something was, at the highest level of both integrity and what people are doing, but there's lies, there's mediocrity, there's, the way that people are behaving in this kind of in this experience, I cannot be part of it. And I said to him, and number two, I really feel that, and by that stage we'd been together for 6 years. And I said to him, we're kind of coming into the seventh year, and I really feel that I want to be loved the way that I need to be loved. And I don't feel that you're capable of it. And this is where I'm kind of going, you know what? It was okay to explore and have this exploration, this experience when I was in my, kind of, I met him when I was 34. But now I don't feel like I want to live the rest of my life with somebody who's not capable of it. And he said to me, but you knew that I was struggling with my heart, because I tuned into his heart when literally the day we met, because he interviewed me for a TV show. And, and he said to me, but you knew that. And I was like, I knew where you were at, but I didn't know where you were capable of going to. And now, with everything that I've done, with all the work that we've done, together, and I've done for you, with you, I just honestly do not feel that you have that capacity. And I love myself enough to want something different for myself. Yeah, and then of course he twisted it all around and turned it all on me and kind of attacked me with everything that I said to him. Literally, it was like, oh my God, okay. But when he left, he also said something. He said, I felt like, because I said to him, if you knew who you were when you started, why did you continue? Why did you go into this? And he said, because I knew that you were strong enough to recover from it, which I thought was very interesting and revealing into a narcissistic kind of persona. And I also felt like, because for me, I actually genuinely did feel like I loved him. And I had to also, I'm going to say, I had to find out why. I had to find out why. And I actually, and I know we're going to also just explore this topic in
Yes, I'm
another,
dying to ask you the question. Like, or as soon as you're done telling your story, I'm going to ask you the question.
I had to actually look at our past lives together to move forward, because I had to understand what my actual soul growth was about in terms of that particular experience. And what I really got to, like, I saw three lifetimes that were very, very particular. And
Yeah, so we're
often it
going to
is.
cover
Often it is
past
three.
lives on the next episode, just so you guys know.
But what was super important for me to understand based on these three past lives and what occurred was that in this life, I had to love the unlovable. Like, I literally had to open my heart, even though it was like my intuition, my inner being knew that he was a dangerous person in a sense. But it was like, I had to love the unlovable, and I had to know that I was capable of it in this lifetime, and and do it genuinely, because his family actually told me he was a psychopath. Like, the person that loved him the most was his uncle, and he told me, and I just went, no, like, I don't believe in labels. I don't, you're being mean. He even told me he wrote a book about himself being a psychopath who learns how to love, though. And I just went, oh, that would be a
He
great
learns how to
TV show.
love.
It
That's the
was
only
like,
part you heard.
and it also showed me how to really, really put my heart back together. What it meant to do that step by step. And I ended up creating a card deck called, I'll actually grab it just so people can see it if they're watching. One sec. Healing Heart Oracles. And it was, and this is kind of quite strong and raw. And it was all about me essentially going through every part of my heart and writing love letters to my heart to reclaim my heart from this, very narcissistic, slash almost psychopathic person.
Wow. I got excited when you were mentioning past lives, but I thought we were going to go into the talk about soulmates and twin flame next. And there is so much talk about this all over social media. So what, from your perspective, what is the difference between the two?
And look, I write about it in my book, The Secret of Life Wellness. I spent years on this topic, and I've had many kind of evolutions of this. And so I feel like, what people call a twin soul is somebody that you've gone on many, many, many lifetimes journeys with. So from early on, you went on so many journeys and you became so intertwined and so close with this soul that it is one of the, and it's not the only, but it's one of the souls that you end up coming back and coming back and coming back with and kind of searching for. And when you meet them, part of your agreement, we're going to say, because you have agreements with different souls, is that you are to help each other grow the most, I feel, the most. You are to push each other the most in this experience of
So it's not a
growing.
fun relationship in a sense.
Well, it often isn't, and it often isn't necessarily a long-term love relationship. And my experience of it was, it was actually mad. It was crazy. I had not a clue about anything like this at the time. I was, I think, either 26 or 27. I was telling you earlier about timelines, so I'm just gonna say it was between that time, between turning 20, 26 and 27, and I was in Paris and I was really struggling with what was going on in my reality. The person who was meant to organize events for me and promote me just walked out. I didn't know one word of, well, I didn't really know French at all, and I was just stuck in this experience. And I really, really wanted to leave, but as I was asking for guidance and help, I ended up seeing this insane sign. It was in English, which there's literally hardly anything in English in Paris. And it said, and each letter was a different color to take my attention, and it said, "Be love." And so I was like, I have to stay in Paris to figure out what that is about. And one day I was walking around and I was like, I honestly, the French are very intense people. And I went, I need a friend my own age, because I was teaching people who were so much older. And I was like, I need a friend my own age before I go mad. And so I kind of just put it out there, and I think within days I was, where I was working, the lady had a bookshop upstairs, and downstairs I was teaching workshops, and she was the one who actually said to me, "Look, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna help you when this other person walked out on me." And one day she, and I was staying with her because I literally had nowhere to stay, and so. In her shop, what she did, she actually turned the table that she had, and the table was facing now the window. And out of the window, there was a couture shop, like a dress shop. And I had gone past that shop, so many times, and had the most stunning, beautiful dresses. And I remember there was this fuchsia pink dress, and I said to myself, one day, I'm gonna have dresses like this. In my co-creation, but I never considered walking in because you had to make an appointment to walk in. And so I'm sitting there and I get this message in my head, and the message is, go into the shop. And I'm going, absolutely no, no way. Like I'm no. And it felt like there was a being, like an angelic being. And then I heard again, go into the shop. And again, I'm arguing and I'm saying, no, I don't know French. I'm too scared. I'm not going into this shop. And I got a message the third time where I literally felt like my head was turned and I was speaking to this lady. And I said to her, I'm going into the shop. And she said, why? Why? And I said to her, I don't know, but I need to. And she said, oh, well, don't talk to him about anything spiritual. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, he doesn't believe in it. And I've seen what he look, you know, how he looks at this shop. And she said, well, you know, I actually know him. Why don't I introduce you? And I said, okay. So we went over and she kind of introduced me. And I didn't know what language we were going to speak. And he could speak English and he could also speak Russian. And I was, you know, from Belarus and that's the language we spoke. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. 'Cause he was
Wild,
Polish
yeah.
and he'd learned, you know, Russian in school. And I thought to myself, hey, that's crazy. And it was like the attraction and the connection was so insane. I'd never felt like this. It was like magnets. And very quickly I figured out that he was gay. So I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. And he said to me, let's go have a juice. And so we started talking and, you know, within 3 days, we were inseparable to a point where this is a person, but I'm going to say, when he asked me, what do I do? And I don't play games with people. I said, I do healing work. And he said, oh, that I don't need that. And I looked at him and I said, really? Because if you believe that you have no understanding of healing work or you're completely delusional. And he said, really? Like what? And I said to him, well, all right, let me ask you, how often do you have clients and, you know, how successful is your shop? Because I don't know what was here before, but I literally see the energy and people pushing, like literally they're pushing your clients out when they're coming in. And I feel like whatever was here before, there was a lot of conflict and anger and the shop wasn't cleared. And he said to me, okay, when can you do this healing and when you can clear this shop? And so, you know, which I did, and it was the truth. The person who had been there just before him, which was a year before, was a crook, and he was taking people's money and then not providing the service. And I think he built kitchens, and people would come and scream and shout. And so
Wow.
I found out later on. And so within 3 days, I wake up, Lisa, in the morning at 6 a.m. And I'm not good at 6 a.m. in the morning. That's not my time. And I see his face in front of me, like literally kind of say, wake up, wake up, wake up. And I call him and I say to him, hey, how are you going? You know, a few hours later. And he goes, did anything really strange happen to you? And I said to him, do you mean like at 6 in the morning, your face in front of me? And he said, oh my God, I'm so excited it works. And I said, what do you mean it works? And he said, well, I was tuning into you and I actually know everything about you. I can tell you everything about you. And I went, you're
What?
scaring me, actually. Like, you're literally scaring me because 3 days ago you didn't believe in
Didn't
anything
know
like this.
anything
And
about
now you're telling me.
spirituality. Yeah.
Yeah. And now you're telling me you know everything about me. And I said to him, look, I'm teaching tonight. Let's go out for dinner later. Let's say 7 o'clock at night. And he went, hold on, hold on. Let me tune in. He's like, no, it's not going to be 7. It's going to be 8. And I went, no, I'm pretty much sure I'm going to finish at 7. And he went, all right, well, just send me a message. And I said to him, well, actually, you know that I don't have a phone. I'm calling you from a home phone from somebody else's house. So I don't carry a mobile phone. And he went, I don't need you to text me on your mobile phone. He said, you just connect with me and you think about me and I'll get the message and I'll be there. And I went, that is like, honestly, that is mental. That is insane. And so I did that, and he was there, and we just started practicing. I went back to Australia. I would go, okay, I'm gonna send him some energy, and I'd check the time and write it down. And then I'd say to him, okay, what time was it? And he'd tell me the exact time, and we'd just know things about each other. Whatever I was struggling with, he would struggle with. It was like being twins. It was literally like being inseparate. And then one day I said to him, I don't understand why you have to be gay. Like this is what love, like true love, is meant to feel like. And I feel cheated. I feel like, I don't understand. And I said to him, you actually have to go into the spiritual world and ask. Like, you need to do that for me to be okay. I need to kind of understand this. And so he actually did do that. He went, okay. And I remember we had this, like, we would sleep next to each other. It was like whenever I went to France, we would just not be separated. And he said, can I, it's like 12 o'clock at night, can I do it in the morning? And in the morning, he said to me, we've had many, many lifetimes, and you know that. And one of the things that was incredible was that I saw one of the lives, the last one, in detail. It was my first experience of seeing, literally my first one of seeing lives. And I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him a word about it. And then he, not long after, told me that he saw this life, and he told me word for word what I had seen. And it was my first time
Okay.
where I went, I actually believe this now, because that is not possible for somebody to tell you
Yeah,
every
exactly what
part
you
of
see.
it. Every part of it, he told me. So I said, yeah, you have to go into the spiritual world. And in that previous lifetime, we had been together for, again, a short period of time, as in an actual relationship. And he said, it's like in this particular lifetime, Ina, we are here to show each other what real love is without the sexual aspect, where real devotion, real commitment is, where it's like we're going to love each other till the end of this life, no matter what. And we're going to be there for each other. And we're meant to teach each other how to love so that we can do that with other people. But we can't
That's
be
so hard.
together in the same way, because we would learn nothing. We would just, we're also very, very similar. And I got it. It was like, oh, I get it. I get it. I understand this. And, it's been the most profound, profound relationship. But I do want to say something to people about this, that don't get stuck on naming things.
Okay.
And one of the things that I went into was this sadness. It was like, well, now I have, the sadness because I could never have this type of connection with somebody. And then I had another experience where I was very good. I became really good friends with this particular family, and there was this the mother, the uncle, the sister, the best friend. And one day, this sister, this woman, I should say, came to me, and she said, "Hey, my brother, he's 25. He's going to come do your course. Can you just look out for him?" And I went, okay. And I'd known her for a few years, and we spent time together, and we kind of like hung out together. And I was like, okay, can you describe your brother, and so on. And I didn't really think much of it. And I remember coming into this particular course, and the minute I came in, it was like I connected with this guy. I didn't know it was her brother at the time. And it was a very similar type of energy. It was almost like I could not, kind of separate from him. And we didn't even talk that first day. And he said later on to me, he said, "I didn't even know what the past life existed until that first day that I met you. And it was like, as I was looking at you, I could see all these lifetimes that we had together. Anyway, neither of us talked about this. The next day, I was walking around and I got lost. Like, I literally got lost because we changed venues and somebody walked with me the first time. And the second day, I was like, oh, I can figure this out. And this was several years later when I did have a phone. And I was trying to call everybody, no one was answering. And I was literally just standing there on this street corner, stuck. And for whatever reason, I had this thought, I wonder if Fred would come, like if he would come and guide me. And literally a second later, somebody touched me on the shoulder and I got a fright and I turned around and he was there. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. And a very, very similar experience to what I had with with Piotr, with my what I felt was like a twin soul experience, started happening with Fred. And like we'd know things about each other, but like crazy, secrets and things that were, really, really profound. Like, I'd never told Fred, for instance, that when I had my baby that died, that I saw an angel and that the angel showed me two children. And it's not something that is, I think, possible for somebody to just tell you without you sharing with them. It's not like
Yeah.
something happens to people. And
That's
one
wild.
day we were hugging, like we were literally hugging. And he said to me, I feel like it's like, again, it's like we're almost one soul and we're twins. And he said to me, I just had this vision, and it's crazy. I need to tell you this. And he said, I feel like when you had, that really traumatic experience with this baby dying, he said, I just saw an angel, and that the angel appeared to you and showed you that you had a, you're gonna have a girl and a boy. Did that ever happen? And I went, well, there is no way you could know this. Like that is, unless I told you, how could you? Like that is not possible.
Yeah.
And then he would have like he was playing soccer and he would hurt his leg, and the next day I would be in Australia and he was in France. I would go, oh my God, I have, like, I wake up with pain in my knee, and I would call him or text him and go, do you have pain in your knee? Did you do something? And he was like, yes. Don't tell me you have pain in your knee. So it was just so, so, so intense. And again, I remember we talked about it and we said, it feels like, as much as there's a part of us that really, because he wasn't gay, a part of us that wants to have a relationship with each other,
Yeah.
that's not what this is about. And it was like, I literally felt like he was this incredible part of my soul family. Like he had a key to my heart that was opening parts of my heart that had not been opened. And then I remember later on going, when I was, maybe 39, going to see this astrologist who was who talked about karmic astrology. And as she was doing this astrology for me, she said, it's like in this life, Ina, you have to meet, many of the people who are part of your soul family. And again, Fred wasn't the only one. Then there were other people that I met
Yeah, of
afterwards.
course.
And it was like, is this, can this be real? And each person, it was like they had this key to my life, to my destiny, to something that I was, especially that I was going through at a particular time. And so the more I learned about it, the more I understood that these were people, soulmates were people that I had really and truly loved deeply, like loved. And we had traveled many, many lifetimes together, and we could be born in the other side of the world. And we were. There was, there was a person in Mexico that, again, I had this incredible experience with that was like this wild, just wild. Where I'm like, I could, Yeah, I
you
couldn't
feel
write
like you're the
a
same
fiction
person.
book, And again, he came in at the exact time where I needed healing and transformation in that
Yeah.
particular way, in that particular time. And it was just this, these experiences of you are not alone. This is, there is, you are loved. I feel like when you meet the soulmate, the idea, the romantic movies that have come about almost from the narcissistic idea of
Totally
soulmates,
materialistic,
right?
yeah.
That it's like it has to be this physical sexual experience,
Yeah.
as opposed to that you're actually the group, and it is a group, it's not one. There's a group, and maybe there's one where you just have, from the beginning, you just bonded and you had so many lives, and you call that the twin soul. But essentially, it's like there's a group of these soulmates, and they don't just come once in your life. And that's what I learned. That was incredible for me. But they come in to help you believe in your spiritual journey. And they come in to help to guide you, often for a time period. And then one of the things that I want to say about this that I learned that was so important was that, again, through movies, we were like, I just want this one soulmate and I want to have this romantic experience, which is again where the narcissist kind of got that idea of, I'm going to play your soulmate for you, right? I feel like that's where
Yeah.
that got developed. I'm going to be your soulmate meets, your mother. How you weren't loved, as a child, I'm going to love you. I'm going to be this perfect soulmate. And, real soulmates are not like that. They're there to push your buttons, that they're to go, you've got to grow. And they're not necessarily there for that type of, relationship, because you potentially already had that with them previously. Very likely you have, they feel so, like them so much like
Familiar.
you, so familiar, yeah, because you've connected so many times in so many lifetimes. And at the same time, if we look at what our soul's here for, even as a general understanding, as a humanity, it is here to grow. It is here to have new experiences. And one of the things that I learn is very often when you meet somebody from, and it is an old experience, and maybe it is a soulmate, you will have a lot of dreams about them. Like you'll start having a lot of dreams about them, and it will feel almost like a heavier energy and an older energy. And then when you meet somebody, and it's like, and it could also be predestined, it's like a newer experience. It feels so much lighter, and you might have dreams later on once you get to know them, but not early on. But you might have this sense of predestiny. And I know, like with my current partner, he said that, when he was a lot younger, like maybe even a teenage boy, he had a vision of me, like of what I look like. He was like, this girl with brown hair that is very
Yeah.
curly with brown eyes. And it was like he was searching, he said it was like his soul was searching for it. And when I separated from my ex-husband, I was like, one of the things that I really want, that I'm very, very focused on this time, is one thing is that a person who can, I'm very intellectual. I'm extremely, extremely intellectual as a person, and deep in that way. And I have to have somebody who meets me like that. And number two, it was like they have to have an open, warm, biggest heart. Like I cannot be with somebody whose heart is cold as ice, which is why I
Yeah,
was experiencing those icy feelings when I met him.
totally.
And when I met my partner right now, Matt, it was, oh, and I was like, show me the vision of him. Show me. I need to, I was literally, I was doing processes of connecting heart to heart, and I was kind of feeling this. There was a process that I was doing that I actually wrote about in my Secret of Life Wellness of, this golden kind of cord connecting. And, I was like, show me the image of this person. And it was so specific again. I saw this vision of this man who had really long hair. And I never, it was something that never kind of connected to me prior to this. And very light hair and blue eyes. And I was like, okay, I now know what to look for as well. And when I met Matt, within a few, dates, I said to him, can I speak to your mom? And he was like, really? Why? I want to ask, I said, I want to ask her a question before, going any deeper. And, because when I met my ex-husband and I asked his mom, she said, good luck. Sorry, I hope I see you next year, but good luck. And so I said to Matt, I was like, I got to talk to your mom. And the first thing she said on this phone call, she said, he has a golden heart. He has the biggest heart you'll ever, meet. And I went, hey, interesting. And so again, it's like we have these seeds, and I really do feel like it was a, it was meant to be. All of the
Is it possible
experiences.
though for sometimes for someone to know there's, because this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people confused. And we got to wrap up here soon, but I'm seeing people confused because they are 100% certain that their soulmate is this one person, but the person doesn't reciprocate it. Is that possible? Because that person has to learn their lessons and then come, like, why is that happening?
Because the other person, again, we make agreements, and the other person understands that it cannot be a romantic relationship. And they realize that that's not, because there are strong feelings, that's not what it is about in this lifetime.
Got it. So
And
it's just
so,
a confusion of feeling. Like it was kind of like what
yeah.
you were talking about with that gay man is like, why are you gay? Like, because you had so much
Yeah.
feeling for him, but he was there to teach you something.
Yeah, and he's still my best friend, 20, it's been like 19 or something years later. He's, we still love each other deeply, but it calmed down. Like at the beginning, we had to speak to each other every single day. It was almost like, it's almost like you need, we needed each other's energy to become whole in some way. At that time, and that it can feel very strongly, very, very strongly like this, because it's almost like what I was saying, they have a key to something, and but people always think soulmate equals relationship only because of Hollywood, because Hollywood made it like that. And I feel like what I learned from Piotr was that love was beyond that. Love was beyond sexuality. And love was also beyond timelines and where you were. At one point, I remember we were having this conversation, and it was like, we love each other so much. Like it was, intense love from, and for him, it was scary because he was saying to me, it's like, I don't love women in that way. So it's like, it's not natural for me. But he's like, I love you, everything. And I remember at times I was acting like a crazy person as well because I didn't understand, very emotional, very extreme. I think one time I was shouting at him in a restaurant because he said to me, oh, this guy just walked past and thought you were really beautiful. And I started crying. And he's like, why are you crying? And I said, because I want you to feel like that. And he was like, but he said, and I was kind of shouting a little bit, very passionate, and he was like, that is crazy. If it was anyone else, a woman screaming and saying this to me, I would be out of this window right now. And he was like, everyone's watching. I'm only here because of you. And he's
But
like,
he
calm
loves you.
down. Calm down. He's like, if I could, I remember he said to me, if I could change myself for anybody, just even have this thought, it would be you. but I can't. And this is, you know, what we have to work with in this life. And
Yeah.
I really, really, really had to sit with this for years, right? For
Yeah.
years. Because, you know, it was like, I cannot, it felt like I can't live without him, but it's not what I, you know, imagined, again, through this programming of romantic movies. And
Yes,
I
the
really want people
unlearning.
to understand that it often, when you do meet a soulmate, it is an old, because you just, you know, the energy is so strong, and you would have had an agreement to meet, but you need to calm down and you need to actually ask questions like, what is it that they're unlocking inside of me? Maybe they're unlocking love that will come with somebody else, and it will be a newer love and a different type of love, different type of love than before. And it was really interesting for me, again, with my partner now, because it felt much more new. And when I first met him, I just remember saying to him, like, it just feels so different. It feels so different. And I remember saying to myself, this is, it feels not like this instant, like not an instant experience for me personally. But I wonder if, you know, if it can be, can it be as deep as a, you know, as what I felt as, you know, the soulmate love, or even my ex-husband, where I just, you know, this karmic love, you know, can it be as deep? And, you know, the answer to a question is absolutely yes, but it takes longer and it becomes
Right.
more real. It becomes more real because you actually are taking, lo take, you know, it takes longer because you're really, really and truly getting to know yourself and each other. Whereas with the soulmate, twin soul type of love, it is instant. That it's like, it is such an instant experience. And again, movies tell us that instant is how it should be. And, you know, having, you know, been on this explorative journey of this particular topic for, you know, close to 20 years, I really think that it's that instant is probably not the love, the romantic love that you might want to have in your relationship. But it is very likely to be the soulmate love. And sometimes it will become part of your relationship, but very rarely does it become part of your relationship that it is for the life. Because when it comes to people that you have that much karma with, that much depth with, it's going to push your buttons, you know, to levels that are sometimes extreme. And I guess my question, even to myself, had been, would I want to live with that daily? Or would I want to have a little bit more, still the depth that you can discover, because it opens that up for you, that it's like, this is what my heart is capable of, is what your soulmate shows you.
Yeah.
But then it's like, do I want to have the drama that comes with it? And it usually comes with a big drama.
Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
wanting an even keel or a roller coaster. And
Yeah,
unfortunately,
roller coaster,
society
exactly.
teaches us that the roller coaster is normal, but you're right. It's life is supposed to be just chill and calm and even, and not even supposed to be, but that's like real love isn't fireworks. It's like you're talking about. It's whole, it's encompassing.
And it
Maybe you'll have to come back
grows.
for a part two, because I have so many more questions for you about this topic.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so many more things, but it was so awesome hearing your stories. And I know so many people feel like they've met their twin flame and they're looking for their soulmates. So it's was interesting to hear your perspective. Thank you so much for being here and talking about that.
Thank you.
Yes. And to the audience, you just heard it. You have many soulmates, so don't stop looking. And when you meet them, we're going to get more into detail on a further episode about this, about the rocky relationships and then soulmate connections. So stay tuned.